Taliban over and beginning of that big family meeting on Thursday, the 26th of January, 2073. Fanny comes to life and talks a long time about Dresden, Wicklow County. Cookie has a visit. Then Fanny talks on the mental clinic. And then Debbie reports on learning from experience on public relations at Tufts. It's Channel 1 right, Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, Thursday the 26th of January, 73. Channel 1 over, Thursday the 26th of January, 73. Fanny, Debbie, Cookie.
Gossie, operation and came out and it was no more to him than cutting off a fingernail. They said he wouldn't make it, but he got better and learned to get around. You know, he had a lot of faith. Before the accident, he had given up.
Well, you'd never know who was going to show up, though.
Well, you'd know whether they had gotten a certain picture or not, which made the game, and everybody else pretty well had their position. And I don't know whether they...
Oh, you must have some regular...
Oh, there were teams.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, and each team played each team. You know, when you had regular...
I've heard them talk around here, they had pound teams.
That's what I'm talking about. All these little towns, and down where we came from, they were about 8 to 10 miles apart. And everybody knew everybody in all the rest of the little teams.
Oh, my.
So everybody,
all these little towns.
And so the reputation went around, you know. And now our little Dresden, we were high on culture, very little on anything else. But we did have a team for a long, long time. And Mike Duke was a farmer, but he played on it. And I wish I could remember some of the other names I can see that I can't really put there in their places. And I don't even know the favorite picture. I know one of the Malone. Sterling? Mm-hmm. Malone?
John McEwen?
Yes, it was McEwen, right. Now, he did something. He was long and tall. In that fine, I can see the long and tall man. But we go out from town at where we had a fair, and you've never seen a fair if you haven't seen a little village fair, but we had a fairground, but on the ground there was a baseball diamond with no screen or anything, and people went in there by my time in their cars, and they were top stand touring cars, we called them.
Touring cars.
You learn too. And the canvas top, and it rains, you know, and you pull up the eyes and lights. And your touring car, you would, and it was dusty roads. And you would do the best you could with the dust getting out there, you know. And you'd sit around in your cars, and then a fly ball, you know, everybody can see now. Everybody's looking at the fly ball. And one day, a fly ball hit into the crowd. And everybody looked around and says, "Are you hurt?" And she shook her red head. I don't think so. Of course, she was about to fall out.
Right on
top. Right on top. She had a nice high one.
Right in the sky.
She had a nice high one, too. But pretty soon, as I don't know how many years this went on, but our little town had to give up its baseball team. But now the little town right up the way that was not near as big as we were held on to their little team for years and years and years. They even built a grandstand behind home base. And that was called Gleason, Tennessee. And that's right. Somebody grew a Nancy Hall sweet potato out on an old red clay bank one time, and the market was just right, and the climate was just right, and he made so many thousands of dollars that everybody next year, you know, put out potato slips. And it got to be real famous. They had a hamper factory, and they gave employment to ever so many people. But they kept their team for a long time. So, Fay and I had an uncle that worked was a depot railroad agent. He was a sports-minded fan of any kind of sports. He just loved games, and he had an Essex touring car.
That's right.
Essex.
Oh, Essex.
Essex 4. Now, we had an Essex 6, but he had an Essex 4 at one time, with a top pan most of the time. And he would work over at that depot, oh, just like mad, all day long that we was going to have a game, usually on Friday afternoon, maybe it's Tuesday afternoon. Well, anyway, some afternoon, he'd always know. And the word would get around that there'd be a game in Gleason at 4 o'clock. Well, you could look out across across the lot from where we lived. We looked across the road and across the lot over towards the railway station. And right on the dot at about a little after 3 o'clock, you know, here came this beautiful, white-headed, great big tubby-stomached old Uncle Mac, you know, just a wilding across, just a big fan. And when he'd get to the sidewalk and where his house was, he'd yell at his wife, which we called Peggy, "Peggy, are you ready?" And Peggy would be right there ready with the car keys and her hat and whatever she needed, and I was always there too. And they'd get in the front seat, and I'd hop in the back seat, and way up to Gleason we'd go. And it was pretty flat country down there, really. And we made pretty good time. And he never did want to be late, and sometimes we kind of were, but we managed usually to get up and have a very good seat in the bandstand and grandstand behind the first base. And I remember some of the hottest afternoons I ever spent in my life, and Peggy would always take a great big palm leaf fan. And she'd sit there and fan, and Uncle Michael said he had a great big bay window, and he couldn't get his legs together at all, you know. And he'd sit there, and one he'd be wailing, and one he'd his stomach in between, you know. And he'd sit there, and he snorted every now and then, you know. And his hair was beautiful and white and curly. And he was seeing, and if somebody, well, he was using for Gleason because that was the home team, you know. And if somebody would come on and miss him, he would just... And if we won, it was a glorious ride home because there was one hill, and we called it Pritchard's Hill.
That's right.
And it was just about as tall as from here to the top of the house, I guess, you know, on a mile-long curve, you know, ramp. But it had one big curve in it, and at that time it was a highway, and it did have phase. Asphalt on it, and it had a guardrail on it. When we would win a game and we'd get to Pritchard's Hill, he would put his foot apparently on the accelerator and let it get a good start, take his foot off, put it in neutral, and away! And his shirt would go out the back and tag his going, and I would sit back and away. I wore real shorts just like a boy's behind, you know, my calico going and always. But I did that for years and years and years, ever since, hop in the back of that car.
But if we lost?
He was a very poor loser.
Very poor loser. He could get the sickest.
Billiards
Anything.
Chinese checkers?
Yeah, anything.
Well, Pappas got so he just could not go over and play table pool with him. Because when Uncle Mac, Pappas was a better shot than Uncle Mac, and with his belly and everything to get over, you know. And shouldn't he miss, he'd get so mad, he broke so many cues. His blood pressure together, and Babu said, "I just can't play with him. He just takes it so seriously." You know, nothing that, no game ever bothered Babu. It was all just the game to him. He never took anything seriously. Never meant one way or the other. But he couldn't help from winning a lot of times. You know, he just. But I might want. Oh, he just loved him.
He was a grand person.
He lived to be nearly 90, didn't he?
Well, he was 90. He was
and
90.
He didn't, if he could, he got so he couldn't drive, Peggy got so she shouldn't drive, and I don't think did drive maybe at night. Somebody in town would come up and get that couple and take them to have a basketball, and finally the high school got football. And he didn't know one thing about football. He didn't know what a goal was. He didn't even know what those lines were. You'd have thought he invented the game. He went to every one of them.
Smashing all
the whole, his entire.
He really was a lover.
Tell about his musical.
But his music. But every little town back in those times, too, not only had that kind. I guess that was the one sport. Now, we had a little bit of tennis. I don't remember a public court, though, in Dresden. Over there at the Mitchell's meeting, somewhere. There was one court somewhere in town, too. And we did have basketball, finally, in school. But
there were a lot of tennis courts, but they weren't public.
Yeah, you scraped off, and I guess people did play tennis, but we didn't have golf, we didn't have real swimming, we didn't have swimming pool, nobody had swimming
pool. You went to the river.
And, if you wanted to get our daddy on top of us to let us go swimming, because it was a drainage ditch and all the sewage went in it, it was off. And we'd slip off and go to get cool, and come home, you'd find out about it. Better than my phone. But we didn't know how to swim. We had to go 30, 50 miles to the swimming pool. We didn't know anything about boats. But we did know hunting. Now, quail and dove and duck. This was a big sport in our little town surrounding. And we lived very close to a lake, Real Foot Lake, made by the earthquake. Mississippi River ran backwards, 13, 14 hours to build up this hole. A lot of scientists knew you still there. Don't you know the story, Wilford? Well, we ought to tell you that sometime. Everybody in West Tennessee.
The little town.
Well, everybody, yeah. But they hunting was a big thing for the merchants. Guns. This sort of thing.
Squirrel hunting.
Adults did. What was I going to tell them?
They said something about the music.
Yeah. The little village. Every little town nearly had a band. And some couldn't quite make it go because they didn't have a blind spirit, of it, or somebody with enough money to buy the instruments for the kids. And this was not taught in school. So not every little town always had a band, but they tried, and it'd kind of come and go. Dresden was real fortunate because they had Uncle Mac. And Uncle Mac was a celloist, and his daughter played, and you can imagine that between the two, and his daughter played piano and a violin, and his other daughter, he was quite musical. And so he got a bandmaster to come in there and organize a band from another little town. And then the children who could not buy their instruments, he bought the instruments and let them play them. Mm. So Fefe and I had access to all the different kinds of instruments that everybody would try a while and give up, and they'd land back at Uncle Mac's, and we'd pick them up and toot them in, So we had a band. But the fair that would come along in the county seats of most of the counties, the Dresden Band was a thing to be invited to come over and play at the other county fairs. And Faye's been, a lot of those. She used to play saxophone before I was big enough to. Music was a big part of our section of the country in bands. But we were a little town. We were really more than a village across the road. We were almost 1,000 people.
Did you have a little, those little place from the play that were around?
Oh, the bandstand.
We didn't really did have
a bandstand. That's one of the names.
We didn't. We played in the courtyard and had Saturday afternoon concerts. And every political meeting, every time we had a political campaign, all of the candidates would come, the state candidates and the county ticket would, and the band would play. They didn't play. See, there's no high school. They weren't in the orchestra, sort of. We had an orchestra. They play it at school functions. But there was no marching band. It wasn't a marching band. It was just pure pleasure. Just sit down and on a And oh, sometimes they'd play, and the churches would have ice cream suppers and string up lights around the locust trees on the courthouse yard.
And he practiced in his yard.
Yonkermeister would string up lights around in his yard and practice on a hot night. And practice out under the lights.
Yeah.
Guy was in there. Keep all the neighbors up. Oh, yeah, Guy played.
Guy was in there.
Bugs and all.
How with his cello?
Well, he played cello in there. What did Young Mac play? He directed.
He played a saxophone.
He played saxophone, clarinet too. Mm-hmm. He could play enough to give lessons almost to anyone. Self-taught.
Like Mr. Weaver.
Self-taught. And he directed.
He would
direct it, and I don't guess he knew what emotion was, but he kept us together. Our hired band master didn't last very long. He got a start, but we couldn't afford him. And so Mr. Doran, you remember Mr. Doran?
Yes.
Mr. Doran left us after not too long, probably not even a year. But that band went on for a long time.
You mean not even a year? Seemed as if she was there forever.
That certainly was a help to me though.
You just had your hair for a while.
Yes, get us off your front porch.
Yeah. I don't guess we knew that we were lacking for entertainment in the small town. Like, we didn't have a picture show. Oh, we did.
You finally got a picture show.
We had a picture show off and on, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, go broke and come back.
The biggest institutions, though, was the two things, the county fair and the WI swing show.
Yeah.
Well, now that would happen in a
fair town.
County seat 10.
Yeah, that's right.
Small.
Nearly everybody went to them.
Yeah, the whole county came.
Yeah.
They didn't know. This was a big, this was an agricultural fair, but to get people, you know, to entertain, it would be not only over four days. And there would be concessions, and a small carnival would come around. They'd know, how to get it all set up ahead of time. And have a little midway. And then the interesting thing about it, Papa was concession man, and they never could remember that long word, concession man. And I called him everything under the sun when I'd want to get in free, for the rides and things. And I said, well, my daddy is. And I'd come out with some big long words, and the ticket man wouldn't let me in because I was, I would call him. I was trying to remember the other day what I did. And he'd call concession man. But then I'd go get my daddy and bring him back, and I'd say, see, I can get in free. And so, because Daddy could close down any of the shows that he didn't like.
Oh,
and so the midway people were scared of my daddy. And they let me in anything free as long as I was with him. But then he knew the midway people were, of course, carnival people. And then other people around, there was a man Fulton that was a little town. He was a merchant over there. But he just loved to follow the fairs in the fall. And he got a little tent that he'd bring over. And what did he sell? Pillows? He had a little game of some sort.
Those beautiful dolls he gave us. He had all the little toys.
I guess he just had a wheel, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had a wheel, and you put a dime on them. Oilcloth number, down here. And if your dime, and spun the wheel, if your dime did, then you had to pick a Cupid dolls with feathers, I guess, or something. But he was one of our favorite people, a real nice man. He was sitting in the front of your church outside in the morning, but to us, we thought of them as carny people and show people with a lot of painted faces, and hard looking. And we were taught to not be too chummy with them, but I always landed in the snake pit with the carny boy on the side, and I was always going to run off with the carnival. And I'd be a snake carnival.
She'd be in the snake pit.
I was the love snakes. And
love snakes.
But the fair was a big big place for the church women to make money. They always had a stand and for food, homemade soups, and tried to compete with hamburgers and sawdust that on Midway. But they made a lot of money. It was a lot of hard work. A real social time.
Well, what?
Horse racing.
And then they would bring in something special, and it was harness racing. And these boys that followed the track, there were pretty good horses. And some of the riders would be, they would know them from year to year, or they'd follow enough to know that this was going to be a good race because so-and-so was riding so-and-so such and such a horse. They'd get one or two real good riders.
You have your trotters and your pacers.
Yeah. And they'd advertise them on
the
megaphone, you know.
Fun
and everybody gathered in the grandstand.
Mule race.
How did they race mules?
Oh, mule race.
They run,
they sit on them, or trot them.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Get on them, make them go.
God,
gallop as fast as they can go. And then the horse races, they have horses all over the county, or maybe two or three counties around, they bring in horses to just run. See who could have the best of them.
And we never
run.
Had that.
A good quick start. We had that, and we had one of the horses that won one of the races.
Your own family?
It was after he'd already won him. We happened to get him somewhere or other, in a trade or something.
Mm-hmm.
He'd get on in, he'd take off.
But the grandstand was really a beautiful thing, big thing, and it's where you had the exhibits and things. And then they kept the racetrack. It was beautiful. It was really one of the things in the village was the big bandstand and the racetrack.
That bandstand was in the middle of the racetrack.
The grandstand.
Oh, the grandstand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the racetrack went, around.
Did you all have balloons?
And then the bandstand was down at some end.
And parachutes.
Right in front of
the
balloons. Yeah, people go up in gas-filled balloons.
Oh, big balloons.
Oh, yeah. And then parachute out of them.
Now, we had, after World War One, we had Phoebe Fairbanks, the noted stunt aviatrix. She would walk out on the wings of the double-winged airplane and hang by her hands and her toes and do flips and all that sort of thing, you know. She's still living. Still barnstorming, I do believe. But we had them, and then they'd, do all sorts of acrobats with the, it was barnstorming. Just in the old double wing airplane. Oh, that really brought crowds the day that the airplanes were going to be there.
Oh, the balloon ascension.
Yeah, I should have just said that.
It's old big old balloons. People stay all day
waiting for the balloon
to see that balloon go up.
It was 4 days of this. And then one year, the only year that I remember that the aviator agreed to take anybody up with him. He said, he'd sell rides. And the first one to say was Gilbert Duke. He said, I will buy the first ticket. So they got out. We didn't have a runway. I don't know where they took off from. The middle
pasture,
of the racetrack,
pasture,
I guess. Yeah. It had to be in the middle of the, there was a pond down at one end of the racetrack intercourse where we baptized all the Baptists and the ones to be immersed. So it didn't give a very long runway. But do you remember the day that airplane with Gilbert Duke in it went up and hit the chicken coop of the second story? It didn't quite clear. Well, it couldn't have been the runway then in the middle. He was off.
That's
some
right.
Field across the road, I guess.
Gilbert Duke.
He didn't quite make it. So there was a two-story chicken display, tin roof thing, and he went right into it, just stuck there with the tail sticking out and the wing here and one wing kind of in, And sooner, I guess, as Gilbert could, I remember I was saying that watching because me and my daddy were going up the next day.
That's right.
And Gilbert, with his leather helmet and his goggles on, kind of poked his head up out of his cockpit, and get out of there, climbed out of it, and frisked around. He bought that fuselage and made a car out of it. You remember the old sports car? He drove it till he got there.
Fanny, I don't believe it.
Oh, he did.
He took that fuselage
put four wheels on it. They made it right down there at Brooks's garage. Don't you remember that?
No, I don't.
Fanny, you
Roselle May, I'm going to write Roselle Mayer tomorrow and prove this.
You'll have to prove that to me.
But you know, I believe he did.
He did. I don't remember anything about it, but he said that was there. Yes, sir, he was going to always keep that. He took it out. They took it down to their Bruce garage, and those boys got these young and me. So.
I don't remember.
Made him a little race car.
Well, the helmet was goggled on.
Well, I was standing right there. Why?
Well, I didn't know that.
But this was quite a... And then every night, everybody who came from all over the county, that, oh, Lord, we let school out and everything, went to a great, tremendous, big tent show. It was a traveling theatrical show. And they put on stage plays, and they had a regular repertoire, you know, and it was things like St. Elmore, which y'all never heard of, but, you know, and Daddy Long Legs, and you sat on canvas seats. It was, and you bought tickets, and elegant tickets. It cost a whole lot of money, and you got up close if you, you know, could afford it. And then you had the peanut gallery. Can you smell the hot roasted peanuts?
Oh, yes.
And the grass, it was down in the field,
yeah.
And that was nearer to town. That was down to town, back in Dresden. But that grass was up that high when we started, but by the end of, and they came early. They stayed all week. By the end of Saturday night, boy, they wanted a twig left, and I ran anyway. They spread out this great big thing, raised the stage, and had a piano player. Always had a piano player that really jazzed up the tune.
And every time a gun would shoot,
I
spent most of the time. Mother and Daddy would take me to those plays, and I hated them. And I'd spend most of the time down under the seat. I wouldn't look at them because they had the weapons and they shot guns. I couldn't stand it. And then they would stay for the what did they call
the mat. What did they call it?
What they call the thing that was after
the encore?
No,
that wasn't it. What did they call it, guys?
I don't know, but Papa
was usually the minstrel. They have a
no. That's not what we call it.
2 hours and a half of W.I. Swain line enough. They stayed for the.
It was a light comedy of about one act.
But they always
in between, and it was called.
Name for it.
I don't know why Papa for some reason had to stay.
We always used to stay, and
they pass around. They come around and sell tickets.
Concert,
no.
Well, that's strange. And I can hear them yelling the tickets, you know. All every between every act, they were pushing this next thing they were gonna have, you know.
Yeah. Oh.
And
while they pushed it while you
were in between acts,
so you couldn't get to stay to see the whole thing.
No, not for one ticket. Everybody, and they gave you time to get out of there before they started the second little light comedy. And I forgot what they
called. And, of course, our daddy, you know, he had to help run the whole business. That's why we had to go all the time. But he always had all the tickets. And he'd go to the door, and he'd say to Mother, and take the kiddies on in there. You go on in. And we were always so embarrassed because we never had any tickets, you know. And my daddy would just assume that everybody would know that we were his family. And it happened over and over and over again that I never got over the feeling, you know.
He always did us that.
Uh-huh. He'd take us to the. He'd say, "Go on in, and I'll meet you," you know. And we never knew. Papa would always find us. But that was it. But I spent most of my time under the chair.
But this was quite an event for the whole town, because the city fathers that were responsible had to be responsible for this being a going thing, you know.
Oh, yes.
And so it was real hard work, and they were real conscientious about it, and the city fathers felt that they were really doing something, you know, for their county. And the people liked it.
And the shows were all right.
The shows were good, and the exhibits, the ladies, oh, they worked so hard on needlework and jellies and cake, and the days that the cakes and the pies were judged, you know, everybody just couldn't wait to go and see.
I didn't know they really had those judges.
Oh, they did.
They
and you won a blue ribbon.
They call those bake-offs or something?
Well, we just called them the baking contest was today.
The judges go around and test all
you're
five.
Right. Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah, I won a lot.
Mamu would always win things on her cake.
How'd you get to be a judge?
One of the big things in the county was the home demonstration.
Yeah.
And they ran the agricultural and home, what did she call us there? Home demonstration. Exhibit.
They had judges to
well,
come
from all
the
for
all
a month
towns.
Ahead, you know, you make corn shuck signs. You know, you take a letter and corn shuck it. And, you just worked real hard. But we had breads and rolls and biscuits and jellies and canned, all kinds of canned. We just like you would at a fair.
Beautiful.
They would stay for that little comedy. It was a comedy.
Yes, lighting comedy.
I forget what they called it.
Lights.
But that is, seemed like that was a great bonus there. Extra special.
And it was really something to brag about if you stayed, because that meant that you could afford to stay for that next thing, which was at least $1.50 or $1. Actually, you've been to the fair all day. You know, it was
an
expensive week.
You bought tickets and they raffled off gifts. And W.I. Swain would say this beautiful Budweiser lamp. See this, you know, and you. They
he was there in person. Well, that
he was many times he came in person. Great big
fat
man with a great big hat. Don't you remember that big hat he wore? Get up on the stage. And he had a different kind of stomach than Uncle Max. His started way up here. And he wore a great big brown suit always and a great big hat.
And he would play in the play sometimes.
I always remember the handsome leading man and the piano player.
They would have the blackface minstrels.
One night.
Yeah, one night would be blackface minstrel.
Oh, this play didn't go on just like on one night.
No,
on
it would be
night.
There every
night
for a week.
Every night
and different comedy.
I can't think of it. What?
It was real fun. We got to know as we got older. I don't know whether Faye did or not. She wasn't. She was heading coming to. But as I got older. We got to knowing the piano player always pretty well, or at least one actor in the group, you know.
Yes.
And then there were, sometimes husband and wife would be the leading lady, you know, and it was stock company, like, you know, little budding actresses would be, you know, and they'd wind up. Well, they would tour the South.
Yeah,
and then they would go places that didn't have a fair, but just have a week of
dozen.
So it's almost like a circus. I mean, it was better known through the small towns than a circus. We just rarely ever had a circus.
And then on the Tennessee River, we had the showboats
So the little towns along the river had a little more on us.
I remember in Savannah they stopped. They stopped for two or three nights. Have a different show each night.
On showboat.
That was, except for the high school senior play. That was the only stage.
We had Lyceums later.
We had I don't remember Lyceums bringing plays. I remember them having lectures. And
they didn't bring plays. They just lectures.
And readers. And music.
Oh, that's where I met my husband.
At
a little rota, one they had in town, or a little street fair, they called it. You met
that
with
a
street fair?
Tell
us about this. Well, I had a date. Went up and visited a friend of mine there, and she had two girls visiting her, and another one. So her friend, her boyfriend, brought two boys down to see us, see these, the guests. So one of them was Papu, and another one was a young doctor. And I had a date with a young doctor one time. I didn't like him. So when they came in, I saw who it was. I thought, I won't be the one that he came to see. And so, sure enough, it was. It wasn't easy.
was Papa a stranger I never had seen.
Blind date.
Blind date. And we then all went up town then and went to the little old shows they had, you know, on the around town. And I remember Papa was stopping once, going across the courtyard there to see another one. And he stopped and struck a match. And he says, I just want to see how you look.
Met you in the darkness.
Yeah, he says, I just want to see how you look. Right on the courtyard steps. I remember that. So that was my first date.
And this was a little fair that March.
Little street fair
little
in
street
Dresden.
In Dresden.
In Dresden. Where?
Well, that was way back before mine, KK's time.
Yeah, that was, honey, I was just 16 years old. And then I had two. I was in college. And I had to go and get a permission from the president of the school to have a date with him. He was out of town. And I had to get permission from my father, my parents, to let him come.
And also from the president of the
college. He lived at where the street fair was, 9 miles away from where I was living. And so I had to get permission. And believe me, it was hard. It took nerve to go up there and ask that woman if I could have a date with this boy out of town. And we couldn't have one but once a month anyway. Once a month out of town. And once a week. In there in town. But we sure had to have get permission, and I had to ask, and it happened her husband was not there that day. I had to ask the woman, his wife, who
the
was teaching, president's wife. And of course she said, well, if your parents don't object, I guess it will be all right. And so I had a date, my first date at home. I had to get permission from my daddy first.
Well, I wish I'd known that when I was 16, Mamma.
That's so. You sure?
You didn't ever tell me that you were just 16.
16 years old.
Hello? Yes.
I never did know why they called, school building that couldn't have gone over high school a college, but our school was called college, wasn't it, Mother?
It was called, yes, it was a Methodist college.
Now that was McFerrin and Martin, but they in Dresden.
Well, they didn't call that college.
They did, didn't they, Guy? Didn't they call that old school building up there on the hill a college?
Oh, yes, it was. Because Cobb and somebody were
Because we used to get ready to go up there to something, and everybody said, are you going to the college tonight?
Yeah. Well, that's just nickname.
Was it the high school?
Yeah.
I guess it was. Yeah. Oh. But it was kind of the courthouse in our little county seat town, the courthouse in the school, of course, in the churches. But was the center of the.
You could reconstruct a lot of that, Francis, if you had the the newspapers.
Well, Martin is trying to do that.
Yeah, Martin's trying to get up on.
And they are.
I mean, you could talk about it. You could get in your mind and talk about it.
Oh.
If you had just a little bit to go on, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And they'll send them to you. They'll send you the they'll copy them for you.
Where was the closest Ringling Brothers Circus?
I don't know. We had it came out at the fairground once, didn't it?
Ringling Brothers.
Well, it was at Martin.
They had little spurs, I think, didn't they?
Well, I remember the elephants going from the railway station, going parading down to a fair somewhere.
It wasn't.
But I'm sure it wasn't a great.
That was Hagenbeck Wallace.
Now it was probably Hagenbeck Wallace.
Well, Ringling Brothers came to Martin.
Yeah, I imagine
they did. That was a larger town. That's where I live.
And the Robertson Brothers had a circus, too. And Barnum and Bailey. And then they combined the biggest part of them later on.
Yeah.
But that was the day of days with us.
I don't know
how
I got that.
Yeah.
Corinth, Mississippi, we go.
Now you see, it was a rich life. And even just ordinary life, you see, all those little stores you see would be busy.
Oh, yeah.
And the first Mondays and the Saturdays were crowded, you see. Yeah. Something going on all the time. And at night, a lot of little ice cream parties and things. And that county fair with W.I.S. Wayne Show. It was a rich sort of life. It flourished, you see. It wasn't crummy. It hadn't gone to seed.
No, it really wasn't.
And all the little towns we see have gone to seed.
Little ones,
but they hadn't then, and they were alive. Now, how long that lasted, I don't know, because I lost contact with them. Well, that sort of thing, I suppose, the end of that was a depression, wasn't it?
Yes, to a great extent.
Yes. And then other things came in. Well, you know, one thing not supposed to last forever. They flourish.
Yeah, that's right.
They flourish. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of, something else sort of takes
that's
over. How far, I don't know how far back that goes. But it'd go way back towards the turn of the century, wouldn't it?
Yes, I'd go ahead. I'd say it started probably around 1800s, wouldn't you? After the Revolutionary War, they began to have the county seats and the forms of government and new states and these little centers. And I don't know, I haven't read enough history to know what happened during the Civil War period.
I think this, what we're talking about, would be more limited than that.
Well, you're talking about 1900.
Well, now, mother's meeting Daddy there. That was a little county fair. Now that was 1900. She was 16.
I was 16
in 1900. You see, so that was in full swing at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These things had to develop, had to grow. You see,
yeah.
And some started them. I don't know what started them. Now fairs went way back, but this particular, all these little fairs we're talking about, that was all over the country, though, Shug. It wouldn't be just in Wheatley County.
No, that's right. It was all over the country.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And these lyceums they're talking about, too.
Yeah.
They had their days in Chautauquas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was more the people were involved in it, you see. And we didn't.
Yeah.
The televisions and the moving picture shows were very minor.
Yeah.
You just went to just sort of, you know, eat popcorn.
Have night. No, just once in a while you'd have somebody with an old picture that
somebody coming.
Erase his motor.
That might be cooking.
I left a note for Cookie at the trailer.
Oh, now I'm going to get out before he comes. If that's who it is.
Mamaluka.
We're not going to talk with him in here. We're going to let him go for Shug if it's Cookie.
Yeah. And
you're going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it is, you don't know who it is. I don't know. Rick's gone out.
Oh. We thought maybe he'd talk. And then we could see.
Well, you know, they had the little street fairs before they began to have our big fair.
Did they?
Yes, because we had to get that big fair because after we got the county agent and
homed
them.
Oh, yes.
That brought
them
in, you know.
That's right, sir.
We had
county agent.
Yeah.
And that
county agent.
That started, I'd say, along about 1915, along about then.
Yeah, that's right. It wouldn't be very far back. Because this big chicken display place was a two-store thing. It was brand new, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That the
airplane
nosed in.
Yeah, that's but that was the pride of.
You want to see that he's got his trailer all lit up.
Oh, has he?
It looks like a fair.
Go ahead and see
it.
Lit
up? I see that. We want him.
Is it cold out?
No.
Go out there and talk. I'll go out there and get started.
Yeah. Well, if he's got his pulse still on, that's the thing I want to see.
Not.
That's about all you can tell.
Yeah, I can tell. The rest of it I can't tell. See, he's got a pulse.
Yeah.
And you go get him started. He can talk.
All right.
You go and get him started, and then he'll. He's got a cup of coffee, and he's trying to.
Well, I'll tell you how I've been doing. Just trading up the storm?
Oh, yeah. I've been trading. Yeah, I've done some trading the last 2 weeks.
Come on this side.
I saw a new horse down here in the, whatchamacallit, and got another one out here.
That's my 5-day American saddle horse.
This one down here.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been on him yet, but I've been looking at him.
Hey, anybody can ride that horse.
Bareback?
Her Dan, I grew mine. She rode him, Laura rode him, and even me, I rode him.
Oh, you not going to ride a horse.
I did.
Well, you stay off the horse.
I did.
You stay off that horse.
I'm going to ride one. So what is today? What is today, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
where
they milk yet.
Saturday, we got a horse sale down in Ocala. I'm going to sell it for a quarter horse out here Saturday.
This one you got now, a quarter horse?
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Nothing lies away. Third man of music, boy.
Where'd you get the deal?
Boy, over here in Macintosh.
Go
over
here, where
are
you?
Boy,
oh, Lord. I tell you. While you drink coffee, I'm going to eat a candy.
Okay.
I tell you, Cookie, you beat the world. Oh, I never saw anybody like you.
Granted, that's my seat.
Oh, I thought you sat in the one behind you. Well, all right.
I just didn't want you to sit right there on Cookie's knee.
I know, move over, thing.
All those chairs around here is having a hard time sitting down, Cookie.
I tried to sit over there.
Let me get this door open. It's
so
warm in here. You notice that?
Cookie, are you as cold? I'm so hot, cold, you know, I burn them up and they have to open the doors. There you go.
I just freeze to death.
I do too.
Since I had that operation, I just ain't worth a nickel by 15 cents.
Special.
And that's not just an excuse.
That's not just an excuse. I just ain't no good.
Well, look, Cookie, I missed out. What do you got out here? Is this something new?
Yeah, I just traded for this one today.
Just one out there?
Just one out there. I just traded for him today.
What does it look like?
He's a good animal. He's a registered quarter horse.
Registered quarter horse?
Yeah. 5 years old. Now, he's cow horse. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, it'd change a place to have a horse that would work. It'd change a place, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll work your cows. You point the cow out and he'll get her. You can rope off of him. You can shoot off of him.
How about it?
Who said?
I saw the man do it today before I traded for him.
Had a demonstration, huh?
That's right.
Oh, golly, you've been after this all day.
Well, it'll be worth it. I'll make a good day's wage.
Where'd you get him?
Up in Lightway.
Up in Lightway?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I imagine he's one of your old buddies. I don't know.
I didn't know you had any horse friends up there.
Yes, sir. I may have bought another one. I don't know. 2-year-old, registered, hint of him.
Yeah.
He's the only one that I know of in the state of Florida.
Up there?
Up there.
I don't know anybody that's got horses.
Now he's a dog. He is a dog. You talking about pictures? Now he'll make a picture. There's just $25 between us.
Yeah. You can't be too eager, can you?
No. I can go back up there for $12 and a half. That's easy.
Yeah. Well, this won't be the last time you trade with him.
No, of course, I traded him good on this one, see?
Yeah.
This one out here?
Yeah.
I traded him good on it.
Cooney, I don't know anybody in Lancer that has horses.
Jim Easter?
No.
You don't know him?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the fella I bought him off, traded for him off of.
If I went around with you for a day or two, I might learn a few people around in the county. But I never did know him.
Oh, my goodness. I saw some people today.
Over to his place.
Oh, Newberry and Archer.
Oh, you kept moving.
Oh, yeah.
Just looking around?
Just looking around.
See what you can find.
Hunting. Hunting for a horse trade.
Meant to trade it.
They ain't gonna come to you.
Do they give you leads? Will one give you a lead to another?
Yeah. I picked up a lead, Monday night. I couldn't go Tuesday because I had to go to Georgia. I went to Georgia and brought a load back for a man.
For another man?
Yeah. And didn't get in till 1:30 yesterday morning. And I was dead all day yesterday.
Well, is that what happened?
Oh, I'm telling you, I was dead.
You wasn't even answering the telephone.
No, sir. Period. And didn't sleep last night at all, hardly. But last time I looked at the clock this morning was 20 minutes after 4. I didn't wore my bed out and I couldn't wear myself out. But I finally went to sleep between that and sometime, I don't know. Helen come in from work at 7 o'clock. Woke me up and she came in. So I got about 2 hours sleep, I imagine. Got up and sat around and drank coffee. Never eat nothing. Didn't want nothing to eat. Took my medicine. And Frank wanted to come down here and see if he wanted him to work. I brought him down here at 10 o'clock. Left up at 10 o'clock and came down here. Ed was mad at Frank, and Frank said, well, I'm going to High Springs with Daddy. So we got an old truck and kept on trucking. Stopped in Gainesville and got us a sandwich. And right on up Hale Trailer Sales, and I bought the things from a trailer. And went on to Lot's Way. Trailed a mule for the horse. Been
that I bought off a guy's neighbor over here.
Yeah. That good friendly mule.
Yeah, the one that took me 3 days to catch.
Went to the back of the pasture?
That's right. Blind in one eye and couldn't see a lick out of that one.
You got took?
No, I didn't get took. No.
No, he didn't.
No.
He's mad just trying to get rid of it, wasn't he?
See, the thing of it was, I knew he had these horses. I saw them about 2 months ago, these horses. Good-looking horses. Well, I actually forgot all about them. Last Friday night, I picked up the telephone, called him, asked him what he wanted for the three horses. He told me. I said, well, now then, what do you want for the old mule and the wagon? Oh, he said, I'll just throw it in there. Okay. So I went down there Saturday morning, told Frank to follow me, see, in my other truck, follow me down to Billy Richardson and help me load my horses. Well, I got there about 7:45. I went down, got the feeds in the box, and got my horses caught, you know, and the old mule was in the stall.
The mule was in the stall.
I went in there to put a rope around the mule's neck, and out of there he went, and right back to the back pasture, just, getting up.
They can move before you can say Jack Robinson.
Yes, my feller. I knew I had to buy in my horses, my three horses. I could see some money in them, just sparkling way I come in. So I said, well, I'll just load my horses. And one of them had to turn out to be a first-class damn fool to load.
Yeah. You load the fool first or last?
No, he wouldn't load first. And I got one of them on, the young one, the one that Billy said will be, he said, now that will be something, because she's never been loaded. I said, okay. Well, I just led her up to the back of the trailer and had a big nylon rope about 20 feet long. I just walked on up in there. I didn't say nothing to her, you know. Walked up in, put it around, I think, the third stake up on the right-hand side. And walked back out around her, you know. Wrapped that rope around her hind legs and give her a yank and swatted her across the tail with my buggy whip, and she made one lunge and in the trailer she went, just like that.
And you can take up the slack, right? You got
it. I had it before I could take the slack up now.
Yeah.
She couldn't come back out, so I think, well, now the rest of them will load all right. Well, the old roan mare, she just wouldn't go up, she just wouldn't go near that trailer at all. She knew what was coming. I think, okay, old gal, I'll just trap you another way. I just took her and the other mare out and led them across the lane and turned them loose in the corral, the loading chute. And back, and then I come and got my truck and I backed it up to the loading chute, you know, and opened the gates. I got them going around this way and down the chute, and they wasn't but one place for them to go, and that was in that trailer.
And it was one after the other?
One right after the other, just like that. And the old mule was slapped back in on top of the other mule.
What?
The old mule was all the way across the other field, you know. Well, I wasn't about to go get that mule, because I knew I could get my money back and then some out of the three horses. I just shut the gate and went up to the station and bawled Frank out. Filled up the gas. Headed for Jacksonville. And by that time it was 10 o'clock. Should have been halfway to Jacksonville. And I went through Gainesville like a green streak. Right on up, I never stopped. I pulled in Jacksonville. The stock pen at 10 minutes to 12.
Through all that traffic?
Through all that traffic. I was getting up. I had the three prettiest horses in the, there. There's no question about it. I had the three nicest horses there. And they brought the best money of anything.
Right out of the field into the...
That's right.
And no handling.
No handling. I made some money. Now, one of them brought $185. One brought $140. And one brought $165.
Well, now, the last track I had, that was high for horses. Good horses wouldn't bring that high.
No.
Is the price going up now? The
price is going up.
Oh, hell, it ought to.
Everything else is going up. You can sell them for dog meat for 8 cents a pound. Sure can. I saw him sell Tuesday for 8 cents a pound.
You know, it's a different saying for a boy like Franklin to work for somebody, whether it's you or me or somebody else, and a regular business. You see, it's a whole lot easier for them to work for a service station where there's coming and going and something changes all the time. What I was thinking is, you see, if Franklin could team up with you and you all just go on your rounds, say, a couple of times a week.
That's right.
You could make more money than you can fooling with all these little tacky jobs.
That's right. Me and Frank, we could be independent. There's no question about it.
That's right. You would put your shingle out. You see, they can't quite do that.
Uh-huh.
They're not quite. I don't know what it is. Can't keep the mind on it quite that much.
No.
And it looks simple, but you actually got your mind on 17 things all the time. You're just balancing them all out all the time.
Yeah.
And they don't think like that. Not any of them, not that age.
No, they don't think.
Maybe they used to, I don't know. Maybe they never did. Well, you know, part of it is knowing what you can't do.
Yeah.
But you can't get, if you can't get by with it. I see Franklin worked up here, but he never did do any good. You see, his heart wasn't in it.
No.
And he could go over there, you see, and do something that was just as dull as the get out. And do it all right. But you can't push things.
He almost got me in jam today. Just almost. I had to tell him to go load the horse by gosh. He gonna buy that other horse. He just come from there and get me in jam.
And what was that?
I went up there. He wanted that little Pinto.
Oh, I see.
If the man wants too much money for him, he won't bring it on the market. And a man making money. He'll bring what he's asking on the market, yeah. But If I don't make $25, then I don't pay me to fool with them.
Yeah, you got all that that handling to do.
Yeah. And Frank, you're just gonna close the deal out on him for that money, Alan. I had him go load that other horse.
Yeah.
He still want me to go back though and get that horse.
So you just may do it in the morning.
Well,
now I'm gonna let old Jim sleep on it tonight, see?
Yeah.
Cause what he don't know won't hurt him. I know I got some backing at the sale Saturday.
Oh, did you?
I know I'm going to. No, this coming Saturday. I'm going to have backing at the sale.
Well, if you can get a little backing now, that'll mean something to you.
My horses is going to bring me out. There ain't no question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. My horses is going to bring me out. I'll give him $200 for that horse.
Yeah. It's to me like at all these sales, it helped to have a little backing.
You can't get it at all of them, though.
Yeah. You've got a little food over there. You got like a piece of chicken?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just eat up and down, me and Frank.
What'd you eat? Hamburger?
I eat a piece of pie. Now I eat a sandwich up in Latchway. Then went down to, it was about 5 o'clock.
I used to know a good place in Latchway to eat. That was by that old sawmill that burned. See how long it's been since I was up there.
I don't know what was that.
Well, it's coming this way on the road goes up, that new highway goes up, and it's over on the right. Now this fella, what's his name up like?
Jim Easter.
How long you been knowing him?
About 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he's recent. Yeah. Well, is he pretty well healed?
Yeah. He got about 40 head of horses.
Oh.
He ain't like me. I go buy one today, I got to sell it tomorrow. Before I can buy another one.
Yeah. Yeah, he can keep him in the pasture a while.
Yeah.
Well.
I'm doing this one after.
And the.
I'm going to put him up. I'm going to give him a few good meals and clean him up. Give him. I'm going to wash him down. I'm going to make him think he is what he ain't.
Yeah.
By Sandy?
By Saturday. I'm going to make him think he is what he ain't by Saturday.
Yeah. Tell Fanny about that fella you run into cooking that bought that 30 acres over there. And half in the swamp?
Yeah, about half of the swamp.
Yeah.
Well, he bought it and gave $1,000 an acre for it. $1,000 an acre for it, and it's half swamp.
And brush.
It's all brush. There might be a garden spot on it cleaned off.
Yes. Old cabin site.
Yeah. And I got in with him, and he wanted me to.
How'd you run into him?
Oh, I've been knowing him for a long time, since 1962.
How'd you get a hold of him then?
I traded cars with him. He used to be a used car dealer in Greenville.
Oh, he did that way back.
Yes, sir. He's the fellow that put me in my first automobile, decent automobile, after I come to state of Florida.
Oh, you just driving traps for wrecks around.
Yeah.
He put you in a truck.
Put me in a truck. I paid him off $7.50 a week.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's just 62. That's all it is. Just no farther back than 62.
I paid him off $7.50 a week, and I couldn't hardly afford that.
Yeah. You was the only one working.
Yeah.
Where'd you live then?
Lived over in Hawthorne, over in Mr. and Grandma Todd's house. Paid her $40 a month rent.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's how come you to get a start over there.
That's right. They're responsible for it.
Yeah. How'd you run into him about this 30 acres?
I saw him downtown one day. Talking to him. He had been overseas for 5 years, Vietnam, working on construction work, driving a bulldozer. It was in 1964, 1966, his boy got killed in a car wreck. And he went overseas, after his boy got killed, him and his first wife separated then. He went overseas for 5 years on one of them overseas construction jobs.
Yeah.
Where they paid all expenses, and he made $10 an hour for driving a bulldozer.
No place to spend it.
No place to spend it. He didn't even smoke cigarettes nor cigars.
And didn't shoot crap.
I don't say about that. But he went over and saved his money and got straightened out. Come back here. And while during the time he was over there, he had paid up an insurance policy, life insurance policy, $150,000. When he come back, it was paid up. So he's going in the used car business in a big way again.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me bank drafts and sent me to collect and told me to go buy him some cars. And I did. That's what he thinks of me.
You run into a fellow like that, Cookie, and you know that they need a little help. Almost any time you run into them, don't they?
That's right. But he went crazy in the last week. That man has went absolutely crazy. I imagine he's got 120 automobiles from 68 up, 68 model up. A lot of 72 models. And he's buying every day. And I don't want to be responsible for him and going broke. That's what's going to happen.
Getting too much?
He's going broke.
He's not that sharp.
He's not that sharp. This time next month he'll be broke.
Oh,
unless he quits in the next day or so.
Did you tell him?
I told him. I said, Clark, I can't help you no more. Offered me $20,000 for my house and lot in Hawthorne.
But he didn't have to tell you where to go.
To replace it.
Yeah.
I ain't buying that swamp. I ain't buying that swamp. I looked around. I couldn't find no place. There ain't no places you can buy.
No.
You can't buy a decent house and lot for $20,000. And I got a house, decent house. 3 acres of land, highway frontage and lake frontage, and I'll be darned if I'm going to sell it.
Can't afford to.
No.
God almighty, isn't that awful?
But he wanted me to, he gave me this house, and this nigger shack, and all the outbuildings to get them off, clear them off, and give me a truck to do it with.
You know, it looked like he might be a good man to work for if he could don't go broke.
He will be when he gets off his high rampage he's on right now. He'll be a nice fellow to work for. I can make some money working for him.
And he wouldn't try to starve you out?
No. I'm not gonna work for him though while he's on this rampage, because I just don't want to see him go broke. And me working for him.
Yeah.
The public would have all right and under the sun accusing me of being the cause of him going broke. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I'll go out here and trade horses. Have a lot more fun.
Yeah.
It'd
be nice to be able to do both, do one day and one the other.
Yeah. I think I bought me another little mule this time.
Little mule.
Little mule. Oh, he's standing about that tall.
I haven't seen a little mule in
about that tall.
God knows when.
And a 4-year-old. Good for years yet.
Good Lord.
Good Lord.
Yes. Good for working.
Yeah, he plowed.
Does he have a voice?
I don't know.
I wouldn't want one of that voice. Either had a voice.
Oh, didn't she though?
She's like a rooster. She crowed all day. But you couldn't get it out of the swamp, could you? Couldn't get that old house out of the swamp.
No, I can't get it out together. I'm going to tear it down. But those niggers he bought it from, they're in there feuding and fighting. Dang, if I'm going in there now while they're feuding and fighting, because I'm a lover, not a fighter. Told him so, too.
No, I don't want to mess around.
No, they're feuding.
There's plenty of old houses in the world without going over there in the swamp and getting one. But it's a shame to have to leave it there. Think they're getting nervous?
That house don't come out of there.
Horse is tearing your trailer down.
No, he won't.
Yeah.
I think Rick and Frank's out there. Maybe.
Yeah, that's maybe what the trouble.
But when
I look, Cougar, don't stay long. You need to. I just thought you were sitting behind. We was talking about that. We were talking about you and the horses, one thing or another, the other night. And I told them that mess you got into, and he got to talking about it. You see, and he said if he could just he couldn't say anything about it unless he saw the policy and got things straight. But he's been in there. Now, you see, at the time, I don't know anybody I can call on to get information of that sort.
Well, it took me a long time to find anybody that I could get any information out of.
Yeah.
And I wore the telephone out calling this one and that one. And I called the insurance commission. And they put me right on the ball.
Oh, they did?
Yes, my fellow. If you're in the right, they're for you. And if you're in the wrong, they're against you. And I was in the right, and they're for me.
Is that right?
That's right. And I got that lawyer, he's hadn't told me anything new in the last 3 or 4 weeks. But I don't guess he's heard anything new. I haven't heard nothing else from him. I'm just doing what he told me to do.
Yeah. You're not back over on the campus yet?
No. If I do any good to horse sale Saturday, I won't be back Monday either. Because I'll be in Sylvester, Georgia Monday.
Well, what is the situation over there? If you stay in the shape you're in, would you qualify for some sort of disability over there?
Mm-mm.
Had you been there long enough?
I hadn't been there long enough. See, I was only there 11 months when I took sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I'd been there 12 months and 1 day, I could have drew workman's compensation.
Yeah.
When I wasn't there.
Yeah. If you could have put that off another month.
Yeah.
Well, you put it off a couple of weeks while your bluegrass singers was getting hit.
I put it off a long time. Actually, I worked for 2 months up there, wasn't able to be out of the house.
You knew it?
I knew it, but I wouldn't give up.
Well, that's where you are. That's where they make the money, you see, on the people that linger. You gotta come right in.
Well, if I do good to horse sale Saturday, I'm on to Sylvester, Georgia Sunday night. Be there 10 o'clock when they start the sale Monday. And I'll leave there and hit the equipment sale Tuesday at 12 o'clock and be there. Hope to make some money. I'd like to make enough money between now and when first, next Thursday. To make my payment up Gainesville on the insurance, make my car and truck payment. And if I can hit one more deal like I did with Billy Richardson, be on my way. One more deal. And if I don't make $100 on this horse out here, I'm not horse trading.
I believe your sales are better than your individual sales. Them individual sales takes too much time, Cookie, and too few of them pan out.
That's right, and another thing, you've got to make too many trips. It's like you've got to take a horse to most individuals and drop that horse off.
Yeah.
Let them keep him for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
All right, you got $200 or $300 tied up there floating.
Yeah.
It ain't making you no money, see, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Whereas, see, I went out there and spent just a little bit of money tonight.
Yeah.
And I'll clean it up tomorrow and polish it up and make people think he is what he ain't.
Yeah.
And Saturday afternoon, I'll turn him loose and get my money back and then some.
Well, let me tell you, you know, I used to have some of that experience of people come here and buy stuff off me. But Ms. Dodd is a whole lot better than I am. She really sells and gets good prices. But she gets hooked. They'll kill a half a day every time.
Well?
And sometimes they'll stay for supper.
I'll tell you what's true.
And they make an occasion out of it, you know.
I'll tell you what's true. Me, I ain't never gonna own a cheap horse no more. I don't care if you got a horse you want to move on out. You got $60 in him. You want to sell him for $75 or $100. You can't sell that horse. People think there's something wrong with him. You got to price that horse at $250, and you'll come quicker selling at $250 than you will at $100. The same horse.
And the people's got the $250 now.
The people's got the $250 now, yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, she's been limping here for 10 days. You knew that, didn't you?
No.
Well, it was the horses. She's out here feeding the horses, and she stomped on a locust sprout. You know the way they stick up.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you hit it wrong. I just stepped off over yonder, and I went sprawling and just almost level ground and twisted my ankle. I thought, but didn't it, you know, sometimes it will catch you and sometimes it won't. It didn't hurt me much, but you can do it.
Yeah.
You see, and I don't know why it is. They got to wear, look at those little old things they wear around. They come out a place like this and act just like they're on concrete.
I ought to take her to horse sale and ask, I wonder where they sell boots and buy her some boots.
You ought to take along and let her.
Look at that.
Yeah.
What's that?
They're pretty.
That's them $16 boots.
I didn't see those.
There's a line from the heel to the top, just like that.
Good Lord.
Well, all the way to the top.
And they got a hard toe.
That's right.
You ought to have a hard toe.
And they're just soft as glove leather.
Yes. Well, now, why haven't people got sense enough to, when they're around horses?
I don't know.
Well, that, can you turn your ankle now?
Oh, you could, yeah, but I don't.
You ain't going to be out there in them locusts.
I ain't going to be out there in them locusts. But I got these boots and whatever. Boots and a wagon and
$12.
Wait a minute, I got more than that.
I'm going to ask Franklin if he needs a sandwich out there.
Poor Franklin. Oh, dear.
Got these boots and a wagon. And since I'm when I got through trading today,
are these new?
Yeah, I just got
today?
No, I got these Saturday.
Oh, my gosh.
Right,
Frank.
He's
feeding the horses over there, the trailer.
Oh, you
went?
Left?
Yep.
Wow.
And got these boots and a wagon, and that horse out there.
Give me a chance to look at them this time.
And,
those are nice boots.
Let's see. $42. 50 boots and a wagon and $92 and that horse clear off of last Saturday.
Turn that horse over tomorrow.
Now if you get is one horse, or how many you going to plan for Saturday?
Is that the same rig you've been using?
No.
Oh gosh.
It's not, no.
I missed that antenna.
No, that's a 66 Chevy pickup. That's not the 71.
Yeah. Is it the same streetcar you got behind it?
Same streetcar, yeah.
Well, does that run all right?
Yeah, it did today. I'm going to take it to Georgia next week if I go. I'm going to take it to Ocala Saturday.
Well, you swapped the other one for boot?
No, I didn't swap it. No. I traded for this one.
You traded your other one for this one?
I traded my Dodge for this one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Gosh, I hate to see you let that little Dodge go. It didn't have an oil pressure.
Didn't have an oil pressure. This here got oil pressure.
You crazy car didn't have it.
This is a good automobile out here.
Yeah. Well, it pulls all right?
Oh, yeah, it pulls that trailer 80 miles an hour.
It does?
Yeah.
Kind of bad.
Well, maybe we ought to get Mr. Weaver rigged up or something.
Well, I had him rigged and sent him on offer, but he didn't stand still.
No.
He just needs a little engine valve.
Need what?
Just an engine.
How big is that? Is that bigger than your?
No, same size.
Good size bed, it looks like.
Same size bed.
Gee whiz, it looks big.
Yes, it's painted red, makes it look bigger.
Oh, I see. What about the inside? You don't have your stereo.
I didn't have. Ain't had time. I ain't been still long enough.
Inside.
Well, what do you do? What do you do in between stops?
Listen to horses.
Yeah.
I was coming back from Georgia.
Tuesday
night. The load is too heavy. I had a load on that boat.
I'm telling you. Cookie, it looks like somebody around here, you oughtn't to have to be the only one that could move things and get something rolling. Everybody else looks like I'm the worst. It's just a stick in the mud.
I'll tell you what. it boils down to one thing. You got to have self-confidence and guts to get out there and push. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Mostly good.
Tell you what I did. I left home, and this is the God's truth. I had to borrow $5 from Harriet Ann, my 15-year-old daughter, now to buy gas with to get to go to Latchaway.
Today.
And I can set you up a pretty good steak dinner yet.
That's like using the old lady's seed money, what she's got
that's
rolled
right.
up in the sock.
Cookie, it was great to see you. There you go.
Let me tell you, you get all that stuff in your mind now, and when you come by here, you better find out when he's going to be here, because he's coming and going all the time.
Well, I'm going to kind of drift tomorrow. I mean, I'm going to kind of take it easy.
Well, you better call in for you if you're going in the distance.
I ain't going to go no distance tomorrow, because I've got to save my energy for Saturday. I'm going to...
Well, I know, but he's in and out.
Yeah.
And I need to do you good talk to him.
I'll probably be here all day tomorrow.
Well, he'll go fishing if it's not raining by the time. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm pretty sure.
I'll probably be over for I'll be over for trailer.
And he'll probably go riding horseback if it's not raining.
Probably
in the morning sometime.
But if it rains,